We begin the current daf in Sech the Baba Basa daf Memches. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, Rav Huna's halacha was quoted as saying, Teluya v'zavin, zvinei zavin. If someone is forced to do something, generally, it's not halachically valid because he was coerced to do it. But Rav Huna said, if he's forced to make a sale, then as the Gemara ultimately concluded and explained the reasoning of Rav Huna, where there's two elements. A, first of all, there was Yisurim, so that's one positive of why the guy would have conclusively sold it, because he doesn't want that pain anymore. Moreover, there's also Matan Mois. He was getting paid for the sale. He didn't originally want to sell it, but together with the Yisurim and the Matan Mois, where he's not losing anything, then Rav Huna said it's going to be a valid sale, and even if a guy forcibly did it like a Goslin, it will be a valid sale, and the guy will get to keep it. And that now the Gemara asks different questions on this opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna asks from a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah says, get hamu'usa, a forced get, meaning where people force to use certain tactics to force the husband to divorce his wife. So the Mishnah says, if it's Bisrael, if it's Jewish people that are forcing the Jew, for example, where he ultimately then says, okay, fine, I want to, then says the Mishnah kosher, then it's going to be kosher. But ba'akum pasul, if they're non-Jews who are forcing him to divorce his wife, then even if he says, right, and he says, I want to, then it's going to be possible. Now, the assumption of the questioner of Rav Yehuda on Rav Huna is that seemingly the way you read the Mishnah is as follows. By when the Yisrael forces him, it's going to be kosher because, what do you mean Yisrael? Meaning Bezdin, the Jewish courts. Because there's a mitzvah l'shmai devir chacham, as we said in the top of this amud for the previous daf. So since there's a mitzvah element, so that's where, okay, if you force a guy, he really wants to. But when a non-Jew forces him, since there's no mitzvah, when the secular courts forces a person to give a get, there's no mitzvah element over there. So you see that even that when since he's getting forced, he doesn't conclusively want and divorce. Now, the reason why that's difficult according to Rav Huna is because in this situation, you don't have a mitzvah, and yet you see that even though a person is being forced, he's not going to be willingly, it's not going to be considered that as if he's gomer makni through the einus. So that's where the question of the Gemara is going to be from this Braisa. But the Braisa just continues and says, but ba'akum, if we do want to use the non-Jews, let's say Bezdin doesn't have the authority anymore to force a husband, so they want to use non-Jewish authorities to force the Jew to give the get, and that the get should still be kosher, so the way we do is we teach the non-Jews that chayv tenaisai, that they should hit him, va'imulai, and tell this husband, recalcitrant husband who doesn't want to do what he has to, that asim mashi Yisrael aymalach, do what the Jewish courts are telling you to do. We now, here you also have the same mitzvah l'shmai devar chacham, because ultimately they're just enforcing what the Jewish courts, what the chacham have commanded, that you have to divorce. So that's what the Mishnah says. That asked Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Huna, Bavamai, why is this halacha hasam nami neima? You should say there also, that even when the non-Jews by themselves are forcing the husband to divorce his wife, that agav ainti gamer makarish, that through the coercion, he conclusively becomes a situation where he wants a divorce. Now the reason why is because you actually have both the variables that we said from Rabbi Huna on the top of this amen. First of all, there's the Yisurim part that he doesn't want anymore. And also he's not losing anything, which is the equivalent of by a sale, where he's getting the value of the sale, of the field, because since he hates his wife, meaning that his wife hates him, because without a get, she also doesn't want to stay over there. That's why they're trying to put pressure on the husband to divorce her. So essentially, this get is only to permit her to marry other people, but she's anyways not staying with him, so he's anyways not losing anything, again, which is the equivalent of getting the money for the field that you don't want to sell, but you're getting the money. So according to Rav Huna, then those two variables are there, that there's Yisurin and that you're not losing anything. It should be Gamur Makni. Why if the non-Jews do it, is it not going to be a valid get? So I think when it says, no, it's not difficult in Rav Huna, because Ha'idma Allah, we actually learned explaining that halacha, that Mishnah, that Amar Masharsha, he says, you're right. Dvat Torah, according to biblical law, filaba akum kasher. Even if it's a non-Jew who's forcing the Jew to give a get to his wife, it would be that he would be conclusively, willingly to divorce, because as we said, since it's Yisurim and he's not losing anything, then he does want to go ahead and give the get, and therefore it would be kasher. Then why did the Mishnah say that if there's the non-Jews forcing it, that's going to be possible? That is midrabanan. And so rabbinically, she needs to have another kosher get. But however, the truth is, you're right, that if let's say she would have, after that get forced by the secular courts, gone and received her kedushin from someone else, actually she would need a get from both now, because biblically she really is already divorced. So then why rabbinically did they say it's not a kosher get? That was Kadesh Lo Tekol Achas Va'achas, so that it shouldn't be that every single woman that's not happy with her marriage should be Hoyleches V'Toyla Asma B'Yad Akum, should go and, what's literally hang herself, meaning to go and attach herself to the non-Jews to flatter him and to have immoral relations with him until he's like, yeah, I like this woman. Go and force the husband to go ahead and give a get to his wife. And she'll have an easy way out of her husband, which is the inappropriate way for the halacha, because it cannot be forced, essentially. It really has to be, it can be kaifin, etc. But it has to be the husband willingly, and this would be inappropriate. So that's why they said that not to allow it, because it's going to be unlawful means about how the woman's going to do it, and it's going to cause inappropriate effect. Therefore, they said, but you're right, biblically, kafu of the akum would be, because you have both elements. It's just that rabbinically, it's not going to work. And there's another question on Rav Huna, Meister Rav Amnuna. He also asked from a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. The Mishnah says, and we mentioned this in the previous daf, lakach misikrukin. If a Jew buys a piece of property from a non-Jewish thief, who they would kill somebody if they didn't get the property from the Jew that he wants to take away from him. So he went and got it from the Jew. And now this Jew buys it from this Sikrukin. And moreover, not only does he buy it from this non-Jewish thief, because of Allah Kumi Balabais, he goes back to the original owner of the Jew. He knows that the guy had it, you know, manipulated to be taken from him. So he goes to him and says, I want to buy it from you too, because although I bought it from you, I want to get it from you. Says the Mishnah, Mekhe Batl, it's still going to be, even if he buys it from the original owner, he gets a document that it sold to him, it's an invalid sale. Nothing worse about mine, but why? Hasam Nami Neima, there also you should say, Rav Huna's halacha, that Agav Einse, because of the compulsion that there is from the non-Jewish Sikrukin, Gamar Umakne, the original owner conclusively desires to go ahead and sell it, because since the non-Jew gave him money, and he's not losing anything. So that's Teluyi Vazovin, that's Rav Huna's halacha, where if someone is forced to sell something, it's considered a sale. Why over there is it so not a sale that even the Lekeach of the Sikrukin, it's a Mekach bottle? But why? That says Gemara, Nehoyet Ma'alo, we had said regarding this Mishnah, that Amar Rav said that you're right. Lo Yishanu El Da'amar Le'Lechazek V'Kani. This halacha, that Mishnah that said that it's a Mekach bottle, is only because, what does it mean that he went back to the original owner and bought it from him? He didn't give him money. He just, the original owner says, yeah, go ahead, take possession and acquire it. Why is he saying that? Because he's afraid of the Sikrukin who forcibly bought it from him, where he didn't get any compensation, where then he says, okay, go ahead and take possession. Abishtar kana. But says Rav, of course, if it was documentation, then they would acquire it, because yes, Teluyi V'Zovin would be a sale, and even if without money, just by giving a documentation, would be a valid sale. Now the Gemara asks, but Lishmul, the Amar Af Bishtar Nami Lekana, which recorded this also in the previous daf, according to Shmuel, that says that even if the original owner writes a document that I sold this to this guy Levi, who bought it from this Sikrukin who had forcibly taken it from this Reuven person, that it's still not going to be a Kenyan Michael. What are you going to say? Why? According to Rav Huna, it should be. And I think Mar says, no, Moide Shmuel Hechad Yav Zuzi. Shmuel himself also agrees that if the money is tendered to the original owner, yes, then it's Rav Huna's halacha of Teluyi V'Zovin. This that Shmuel said that even a document that's not going to be kaina, is all he gave him was a document. He wrote, I sold it to this guy. But there wasn't actually money given. If money was given, then yes, everyone would agree to Rav Huna's halacha, that Teluyi V'Zovin, Zvin Yizovin, it would be, although forcibly, since he's not going to get Yisurin anymore, and he's not losing anything because he's ultimately getting the compensation, then it is a valid sale. Now, the Gemara still asks, but Rav Bibi, the Messiah, but according to Rav Bibi, who he concluded on the previous daf, which we quoted Rav Nachman, who he had said in the name of Rav Huna e Halacha, that Gazan Shevi Raya, where although we said, let's say regarding an Uman or a sharecropper, if they bring proof, documentation that this is something that they bought, so then of course it's going to be a proof, even though generally they cannot create a chazaka, but they have document that they bought it. Rav Nachman had said in the name of Rav Huna that, but if a Gazan brings proof, documentation that he bought it, it's not a valid Raya, we're not going to give him the field. Now Rav Bibi had added on, Mishmid Rav Nachman, the name of Rav Nachman himself, that Karka Einloy, that you're right, although if he has documentation, he's not going to get the land, but Mois Yeshloy, but the money that the Gazan had given to the Nigzel, that he will get back. Now, so what we see from this halacha of Rav Bibi is that even in a case where the Gazan had given money to the victim, he has not acquired the land. He'll get back his money, but he doesn't get the land. Why? Because obviously Teluyi V'Zovin loves Vinizovin. Obviously, if he's forcing someone to sell it, it's not a valid sale. and therefore the same thing would be regarding the Mishnah by the Sikrukin, that if the Sikrukin or someone who buys from the Sikrukin then buys from the Balabais and he gives him money for the value of the field, he does not acquire it. Which that's the biblical contravening, who said that Tloy Bezavin is a Zvini. So the Gemara answers, right, so the Gemara says, Michael, remember, what are you going to say according to Rabbibi? So the Gemara says, Rabbibi, remember who? Rabbibi was just a statement he said over from other Amiram, which is not a Mishnah or a Braisa. Now, because if, let's say, Rabbibi would have said over this halacha in his name, the Gemara would have responded, well, Gavra, Gavra, Karamas, what you're asking from one Amar and another Amar, that's what they dispute. But Rabbibi didn't say it over in his name, he said it over in the name of Nachman, but that's another Amira. Says the Gemara, Memel Rav Huna, least really, this Amaroic statement, Rav Huna does not hold to be right. He disputes that. Rabbibi is obviously hold Tlei Vazavan, Lois Vinizavan, but which was in the name of Rav Nachman. Rav Huna himself, who, that's what we said in the previous staff, that although Rav Nachman was saying over the name of Rav Huna, when he said over his next statement, which was his own statement, was actually in contradiction with Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds Tlei Vazavan is Zvini, Zvini. Now, the Gemara concludes, Amar Rav, he says, Hilchas Halacha is to Loyu Bezavin, Zvini, Zvini, like Rav Huna. If someone is forced to sell something, it is a valid sale. But he qualifies. He says, V'le Amar, we didn't say this Ella only as we continue to Amid Beis, Besad the Stam. In general, where someone is forced to sell one of his fields, and he selects and picks, okay, this one I'll sell, where although it's under duress, but since he ultimately selects, so obviously he picks out the worst one that he wants, and he's not so concerned, and therefore he conclusively says, okay, fine, I'm forced, but okay, it's, you know, it's my worst field, and he's getting compensated. But Al-Basad Azur says, if it's when he's forced to sell this field, and they say, no, we want this one, and that one he sells, then we don't say it's Loi Bezovin Zvin Zaman, because we cannot say that Gomer Makni, could be he's just forced, and he's compelled, and it's not something that he's selecting and deciding on his own. Moreover, says Rabbah, Besad Dezu Nami Loimar. Also, regarding when it's this field that he's forced to, which we said that then it's not going to be a valid sale, we didn't say that Edloi Arti Zuzi. Only where we don't see the seller, although he's being compelled, that we don't see him counting the money. So obviously, if he's not counting the money, he just stuffs in his pocket. Obviously, it's because I have no choice. What am I going to do? You know, I don't really want this, but he stuffs in his pocket. Then we could say, oh, okay, it was an Einis, and it's like Gomer Makne. But if we see him counting out the money, then obviously he's interested in what's happening over here, although he didn't want to, but there is a Gomer Makni, even by Sadezu. Moreover, qualifies Rabba, Veloy Marin. And we didn't say that even when it's Sadezu, and he's not counting the money, that, okay, then there's not going to be a sale. Eldlei Havelish Tamuti. Only if he couldn't have gotten away in any situation from the guy who's forcing him, in any type of way, some type of excuse. In other words, he couldn't say, okay, you know, wait for me till tomorrow, or wait till my wife comes, or any other way of getting out if a person wants to get out from a forced situation. Then he couldn't get out, and you obviously see that it's being forced because he's not counting the money, and the guy says, I want this field, then it's not going to be a sale. But if he could have got out of it, if the guy could have delayed the guy by saying, oh, come back, I don't have this and that, and the guy would have been delayed, and he didn't, then we're not going to consider it forced, and it's going to be Zvinei Zavim. Now, however, the Gemara concludes, Behilchas Halacha actually is Bekulu, that in all the situations, the Havas Zvini Zvini, it's actually in all situations, even if a guy is forced, but since he's getting away with Yisurim and he's getting his money back, it's going to be a valid sale. Va'afila Basadazu, even the situation where the guy says, I want this field, and the guy's not counting the money, and he could not have gotten away from it, he couldn't have avoided the guy, where it's a total Einus. Now, where as long as the guy says, Reitzani, he says, I want him, even though he's being forced, it's going to be a valid sale. Proves the Gemara. How do you know this? Because we have the case of a woman who is forced to receive an engagement from a certain man, and she gets engaged to him. Where Kesada Zudamia, that would be the comparable of when it's the guy says, I want this field, because here this guy only wants this woman. He says, you better get engaged to me or else. And she's like, oh, what are you going to do to me? And the same thing here, you better sell me this field. We both of them want this thing. V'amar Maimon, the Maimon had said regarding the woman, in other words, that that's the way we hold, to Luyi V'Kaddish, if a woman is forced to receive Kedushin from a man, he says, this is not going to be pretty if you don't accept the Kedushin. Kedush of Kedushin, it is a valid Kedushin, which is comparable to the sale, where that in Halacha, Kedushin actually works, where the woman is selling herself on some halachic level to the man who buys her, that's with the ring that he gives her. So since we see that there it's going to be valid, where it's like Sadezu, where it's Ishazu, Therefore, just like we say over there, therefore it says the Gemara, that same thing is also over here by Sadezu, even there, Teluyi Bezav and Zvini Zav. Now, however, actually, Ma'bar of Ashim, he disagrees and he says, no, I know you're proving your point of Sadezu, which is by a sale, from Isha, to the contrary. I agree that by a sale, in all situations, even by Sadezu, it's going to be a sale. Even though the guy says this field. But by Isha, but by a woman, Vade there most definitely the Rabbanan instituted that Kedushin loy have, that actually is not going to be a valid Kedushin. Because since who asa shloi kahagin, since he did inappropriately that he forced and coerced the woman to get engaged to him, the vigach asui my shloi kahagin, so therefore the rabbis did also with him not according to the normative halacha. Meaning, although biblically it should be a Kedushin, like we're seeing that by Tului Vezavin Zavin Zavin, and by Kedushin it is a sale, it is a Tului Vezavin, but since he did inappropriately, so the rabbis actually go ahead and they actually remove the Kedushin aspect of the ring or whatever money that he's giving to her. They go and they say that he didn't give her Kedushin, he's giving her a gift. Now, elsewhere in the Gemara Masechet Ksubos explains this halacha is because whoever engages a woman does it based on the understanding and the qualification of the rabbis. And that's the wording we use by a Kedushin, by the Chuppah, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, according to the laws of Moshe and the Jewish people. Now, the rabbis say that this shouldn't be a Kedushin, because you did it appropriately, so therefore we don't want this to be a Kedushin either. So it comes out really that there wasn't halachically a Kedushin, because since he's doing it all based on the acceptance and the willingness of the sages, and they don't want this to be a Kedushin, therefore it's not going to be a Kedushin. So therefore I disagree, I hold that year by a sale, Sadezu is going to be a sale, but not by Kedushin. Now that, only Ravin L'Ravash, Ravin, however, asked on Ravash, and he says, but Teinech the Kaddish B'Kaspa. This all makes sense to say that by a woman it's not going to be Kedushin, because it has to be according to the willingness of the rabbis. We understand that if, let's say, there's a few ways to create a Kedushin, Kesef Shtar and Bibia. So if he makes the Kedushin with money, let's say with a ring, so the Chacham, the sages, could come and remove the Kedushin element of it, because they have a power, what's called Hefker Bezen Hefker, but regarding money, they could say that something is not under the jurisdiction and the ownership of the one who owns the money, and it's like Hefker, and they could do with it as they please the rabbis. So it's as if this guy engaged her with something stolen, which is not a valid Kedushin. So that we understand if he was Mekadosh with money. But Kaddish Bebiya, but if he engaged her with an act of intercourse, where it's an actual physical act with her body, Michael and Mema, what are you going to say over there? How could the sages say that it shouldn't be, quote, Bia? By default, it is Bia. By money, you could say it's not money of Kedushin. It's not your money. And the rabbis have the right to that, because they have the ownerships of money in regards to Jewish law. But by Bia, it is a Bia. There's no other way of slicing it and qualifying it. So how are you going to say over there that they make it that it's not a Kedushin? That Amalei says, no, that's the same thing. Shavu Rabbanan lebilase bilas nos. The rabbis went and equated his Bia as a bia of znus, of immoral relations with an unmarried woman, just like a person goes with a prostitute. It's the same thing with the rabbi said, it shouldn't be Kedushin. So since it's not Kedushin, so it comes out by default that it is a bia of znus. It is not an act of Kedushin, because it doesn't have that authority of Kedushin, which is only based on the willingness of the rabbis, and that's how they could do it in all forms of Kedushin, and therefore it's not going to be a Kedushin, even though in general we say Tului Bezavin, Zvini Zavin. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this topic, that Tabi, which was the strong type of a person, meaning someone that would forcibly do things regarding monetary things with other people, Talala Papi, so he hung, he Yisurim tactics, he hung this Papi, Akinara, on this tree called Kinara, which to force him to sell him his field, or another interpretation is that he actually, when it says Tala, meaning he hung him, meaning it's a way of saying that he used torture tactics because of the Kinara, meaning he wanted him to sell him this tree, this Kinara. So either way, he was trying to force him to sell him something. Bezavin, and in other words, he did that, he sold him what he was being forced to do. Now, Chasim Rabbi Babachana, Rabbi Babachana, with another witness, signed on Amida, on the documentation which Papi produced before the actual sale document. He went to two witnesses, one of them being Rabbi Babachana, and the Amida is a notification saying that what I'm going to sell now is not according to my willingness, I'm just being forced, which is a pre-voiding of the future sale document. Now, so Rabbi Babachana had signed on the Amida, and Va'ashkalta, he also signed on the actual sale document. So Amar Rav Huna said, Man the Chasim Amayda, the one, meaning Rabbi Bachana, who signed on the Mayda, on the notification, voiding the future sale of this, Shapra Chasim, he signed appropriately. In other words, although that Tluy Bezel Ben Zvini Zvini, although when a person is usually compelled to, he's forced to sell, it's a valid sale, but that's where you didn't write beforehand a Mayda. But if you, that's only because we could assume that you really agreed to ultimately the end, because you're not going to get these stories and you get compensated. But when you write beforehand a notification showing a disclaimer that you don't want the sale to be valid, so it's going to be void the future sale. Now, moreover, said Rav Huna, Oman Lachasim Ashkalta, and meaning a reference to Rabbi Chana also, the one who signed on this sale document, Shapar Chasim, he signed appropriately, meaning that it is a valid sale document, because although he was forced to sell, but that's the halach of Tlui B'Zavin, Zavin is Zavin, as the Gemara will conclude, which the Gemara asks, Manashach, what is it that you want? How could both halachas be true? E Maida Lo Ashkalta. If he's saying the Maida is a valid document, then the sale document is not valid, because there's already a disclaimer invalidating it. Vi Ashkalta Le Maida. And if you're saying that the sale document is valid, then the Maida document is not valid, because if you're saying it's valid, that means the disclaimer doesn't work. So the Gemara says, no, this is what Rav Huna was saying. Ilav Maida, meaning the Maida is valid. So of course the Ashkalta is not going to be. But it's just saying, if there wasn't the Maida, Man Dachas Mashkalta, Shabbat Chasim, the one who signed on the sale document, would have signed appropriately. Meaning, Rav Huna L'tamei. It's only Rav Huna according to his opinion, Dam Rav Huna, that we said, Tului B'Zavin Zvini Zavini. Meaning, he's saying that although it would have been a forced situation, but had he not had the Maida, although it was forced, it would have been a valid sale, as Rav Huna's halacha is, that if you force someone to sell, it is going to be a valid sale. But the Gemara, however, asks on this incident that we brought with this Tabi and this Papi and the Psak of Rav Huna, and that is Ini, is that really so? In other words, how could you say that the Maida that Rabbi Baruch Hanna had signed before he signed on the Ashkalta that he himself signed, that the Maida pre-voided and invalidates the document of the Ashkalta that ultimately he signed? But Vam Rav Nachman said, and what we're going to see from this halacha is that what's being asked is that the same thing applies over here by Rabbi Baruch Hanna, where when he testifies now on the Ashkalta, the sale document, that he's saying that Maida hay devarenu, that, oh, when we had signed it in the document, that it was actually, we had already had this disclaimer beforehand. Question is, why is he believed to say that when he signed on that sale document, that it was invalid? Why is that problematic? Because Rav Nachman says as follows. It says, Ha'edim, regarding witnesses that are signed in the document, Sha'amru, let's say, Aman hayu devarenu. Let's say they say, although they're signed in the document, they say that actually there was no loan that actually happened. We just wrote that as if there was a loan from the lender to the borrower, was only because in case when this guy's going to want to have to borrow, they're going to need a documentation. So the borrower trusts, that's the word amana, he trusts the lender that he's not going to produce the loan document to collect from him unless he ultimately borrows from him. So, but we already pre-wrote the document that as if the loan already happened. Now, the Rashbam forewarns, that's not a problem as if it's a shtar muktim, because actually it is from that moment that the loiva makes all his properties indebted to the lender, even if the loan is only at a later point in time. So it's not a shtar muktim as if it's being collected inappropriately. But what the witnesses are testifying is that actually no loan ended up happening. It was just a document based on trust. And that says Rav Nachman, K'nir Tabim Tezmer Aleph, Einemonim, the witnesses are not believed to say that. In other words, we don't have to say if, let's say, that their signatures can be verified from somewhere else, where the witnesses themselves are not believed to, so to speak, invalidate the document, because if you read the document, it sounds like a loan did happen. They want to say that, no, it didn't really happen, it was based on trust, where in that situation, you don't even have what's called the migo of a pesha asa hu a pesha hitter, meaning they're the ones that are making the document. Okay, so then they should be able to undo it. In that situation where they're not making the document, it's the other people who recognize the signatures who are making the document. For sure over there, they're not going to be believed to invalidate the document. But what Rav Nachman is saying is, even if they themselves are validating it, and they're saying, we signed it, but we just want you to know it's not a regular document, it was based on trust, they're not believed. Why? Because the moment that they admit that it was written kosher, it was a kosher signature, it was a kosher document, it's just the loan didn't happen. So then the signatures in the document are as if they were already testified in the court, because whatever's written in the document, which in this situation says that this guy lent this money to the borrower, once they said the testimony, which is the document itself, So then you cannot go back and have a new testimony. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubos Daf Chesam Beis, Rava says, once you say testimony, you cannot then go and then change that testimony or make an amendment to it. Now, although you're going to say maybe that's only when they say oral testimony, but not here like in a document where in the document it says that the loan happened, but then they later come along and say that, no, it's not like it seems, it actually was based on trust. But then the Gemara says clearly from Rish Lakish that witnesses that are signed in the document, it's as if they orally said their testimony, as if it was verified in the court. Same too, the Gemara says over there in the Yud Testament Beis that the reasoning that it's quoted there in the Gemara, as we find the Gemara wonders regarding when they say our words were based on conditions, the Gemara there explains that the concept of Maidah and Amana, which we're discussing of here from Nachman, is because it's uprooting the Shtar, which is like a Chayzer Magid. So that's one reason why they're not believed to say Amana Hayudivareinu, because the problem of Kivin Shehigat Shoveinu Chayzer Magid. Another reason actually is because the reason why they're not believed is because it's actually forbidden to hold on to a Shtar Amana. And the Gemara says over there, Al Tishkan Balecha Avlo, because since it could be used inappropriately by the lender to collect, so therefore, since it's something inappropriate, the witnesses were not supposed to sign on such a thing. So even when they say that we did sign, they're not believed, because a person is not believed to make himself into a wicked person, and they're making themselves into a rasha by saying that they signed on something inappropriate. So therefore, they're not believed to say, Amana Hayadivareinu. Moreover, Maidai Hayudivareinu. Let's say they say, if let's say it's a sale document, and the witnesses who signed in it say that the seller actually had, before the sale, had given us over a maida, a disclaimer, showing us his duress, that he doesn't want to sell it, he has no choice, he's being forced into it, but he doesn't really want it to be a sale, but he has to go ahead and write the document to get them off his back, says Rav Nachman, that einam anim, they're not believed, because by both of them, they're agreeing that it's a full-fledged document. Now they're coming to invalidate it by the testimony of saying that but it was a maida. That's called Kivin Shekit Shobein Lechayzer Magid. And once they said testimony in the documentation, so you can't go back and now say that, oh, to invalidate it, say, but it wasn't a real, it was, the guy had told us before and he doesn't really want to do it, it was a Maida he gave us. So the question is, so here also, why did Rav Huna say that they could invalidate the Ashkalta, the sale document, because of the Maida, but Rabbi Bachana, he himself was the witness who had signed in Ashkalta, and he wants to say with his other document that he signed on that it was a Maida, but you're not believed to say that what you signed is Maida, as we brought two different reasons. And because it's Kivin Shehigat Shuvein Lechayzer Magid, you cannot go ahead and do that. So how, in this situation, did he say that the Maida could invalidate what he signed on Ashkalta? I think Mar says, no. Hani Mili, when did we say that they're not believed, is Alpeh. Is when right now they come and testify that what we had signed was Maida. And they're coming to invalidate the documentation in the document, which was like as if it was already previously already verified from the moment that it was written and signed. Where there we say, Delay Asya Peh, that you cannot have this oral later testimony that it should come Umar Lishtara and invalidate and create a flaw in what was their earlier original testimony. Because that is the halacha of Kivin Shehigat, once you testified, which is the writing in the document, Shuvein Lechayzer Magid, then you can't go back and testify again. You can't have the later oral testimony invalidate your earlier writing in the document. Al Bishtara, but over here, where the document of the Maida, which is written in the document, and that these witnesses had signed on, like the case of Rabbi Bechana, which actually was before the Ashkalta, oh, of course, there, Asi Shtara, there, this earlier Shtar of Maida could come Umar al-Shtara and could create a flaw in the document of the Ashkalta, which is only after that. Of course, their pre-testimony of the Maida could invalidate the Ashkalta itself. All along, we say that you usually can't do that because you're coming later and saying what we had done was had a Maida beforehand. So although the guy had told them, but now, what do you mean? These are documents that you had signed. It's as if it's already verified, as if you said testimony in the courts. You cannot come later and then clarify and amend. You can't. That's Kivin Shehigat Shuvein Lechayzer Magid. Here, that's not what's happening. Here, although you have an Ashkalta, but the Maida is written beforehand. And although that's only being brought to light now, but that's not Kivin Shehigat Shuvein Lechayzer Magid. That was actually something they testified, because whatever's written in the document as if you testified was actually before the Ashkalta. There's no problem of Kivin Shehigat Shuvein Lechayzer Magid. And therefore, that was what Rav Huna said, that Yes, if there was no Maidah, the Nashkalta would work, although it's Tlid Bezavin Kazvini Zavin. But since there was a Maidah, the Maidah will invalidate the Mashkalta, because there there's no problem of Kivin Shegit Shabin Chazamagid, because there actually the Maidah was written before the Ashkalta, before the sale document.